Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Close Up. I'm your co-host, Joe. And with me today is...
It's me.
It's Ryan.
Hi.
You got a close-up classic today, a close-up with Ryan and Joe. And Justin's sitting this one out because he has not watched The Last of Us Season 2. Didn't care to. Should we have even bothered? We'll see. Let's get into our medium shot from our extreme long shot now. And Ryan, hope you still remember how to do this. Tell us, what was your hype level like going into this season?
Ooh, hype level. Interesting.
Yeah. How are you feeling?
It was more of a concern than a hype level.
What was your concern level? On a scale of...
Probably at say like you're cooking a pan steak, right?
All right.
Say it's a little too hot, but like you're still watching it. You're still watching the steak. It's not gonna like catch on fire or anything, you know?
Okay.
So it's, you know, you're keeping your eye on it, making sure it's not overcooked. And then you take your eye off for 1 second. That's how it ends. Anyway,
I feel like the season might be a blue steak. It's charred on the outside and raw on the inside.
I think you're correct. Because the outside flavor is decent, and then you cut in, and it's like, oh, it could have been just a little bit longer.
You took your eye off the pan, and you're like, holy crap, it's burning!
Oh, no.
And then it didn't cook at all. So getting into
you cut on the inside to see if it was... cooked at all, and it wasn't. You're like, let me just try it. And then the next day you'll get food poisoning.
There's a very real possibility. I just finished the season this morning, so by this morning, I mean a couple hours ago. So, yeah, I might get food poisoning tomorrow. We will see. But getting into our close-up now, just to sum up my thoughts on the season, The Last of Us Part 2 adapts the game's key moments, yet fails to make them resonant, thanks to sanitized character building and poorly focused narrative. Before getting into this, I forgot to clarify with you earlier. Definitely going to be doing spoilers for The Last of Us Season 2 and for Last of Us Season 1. How far are we going to go into game spoilers for the people who still haven't played it? Because Season 3 is going to be covering the back half of the game.
I'm going to try to refrain for talking about the back half of the game.
For anything season...
It might slip up.
Yeah.
However, I will talk about what happens in the game that already happens in the show.
So basically, if you've played the first half of Last of Us Part 2, the video game, that's in contention. We'll try not to spoil the back half of that game and thereby Season 3. So... Yeah, okay. So it's like I said up top. The thing about this season... Pretty much all the key moments are there. And they are executed to a point where I watch them and I think, well, you basically did a pitch-perfect adaptation of this scene, but why am I not feeling it? That's the big problem, is this season, it does the moments, but it didn't do the legwork to resonate with me when they actually happened. The only one, I will say, that was really a gut punch and was built up as appropriately as it ought to have been was Joel's death in episode 2. That was one where I thought, okay, this is basically making me feel exactly as it made me feel in the game, for better or for worse, whatever I felt while the game, it came across here about the same. Everything else, the emotions were lessened. I am very much trying to judge Last of Us Part 2 on its own merits as a TV season. But all the biggest... The funny thing is, when I look at it as an adaptation, it clarifies what I found wrong with it as a TV season. If I couldn't quite put my finger on it before, I'm like, oh, I just think back to the game and I think, oh, that's what was missing here. If it just did it more like the game, I'd have less of a problem right now. So, that is my first thought on that. But tell me, what were your thoughts on the Joel death, at the very least?
Well, on the Joel death, I thought it was, in a weird way, written better.
Okay.
In terms of just, like, plot-wise. Overall, I thought, there's a few things I'm not, people who have listened in the past, people who are listening now. No, I did not like The Last of Us Part 2 game. I thought it was very character assassination-y.
There's a whole episode on it.
I thought they were trying to make Joel just be the worst guy whatsoever. Here, during the show, I kind of feel the same, but it's not as forced. Or it's not so much character assassination, it's just more like there's one little thing that they wrote in that was like, I don't like that.
Okay.
But overall, the death itself, I thought it was done better because in the game, from memory serves, you play as Abby and you run into Joel and Tommy. And
then it basically plays out
different then.
It's basically the same, except he was with Dina instead of Tommy.
It's with Dina instead. I'm trying to remember because I haven't seen the episode since it came out.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's that many different, but then there's subtle differences that I kind of like where Abby's so blood hungry. And in the show, their friends more like hesitant and care more about Dina being safe. Like they're only here for Joel. They're only here to kill Joel. Same thing kind of with Ellie a little bit until Ellie like slashes Manny in the face.
They were more merciful.
And he becomes blood hungry.
On the whole.
Yeah.
Abby was the one full on, I'm willing to kill anybody in my way here. And they're like, hold on a minute. We're not here to fight the people of Jackson, who are probably a lot stronger than us anyway, just by the looks of them. Like, they got electricity, man. We're kind of dealing with a running settlement. And they're merciful to Ellie, they're merciful to Dina, but no mercy for Joel, because that's who we're here for. And I agree that was a change that helped immediately humanize this crew a bit more than in the game. It made them seem less altogether monstrous. That, okay, we're here for one guy and we have a code. Which I liked the one line when Abby was talking about how she has a code, but she's going to break it just for Joel because she thinks he deserves that much. Like, okay, that's interesting. You do claim to have an honor system, at the very least, not killing unarmed people and whatnot. But it played out basically as the game played out and basically sucked the life out of the season afterwards because out of 7 episodes of this show...
Just like the game.
Yeah. Out of 7 episodes of this show, Pedro Pascal is in 3 of them, and those are the 3 best episodes of the whole season. Which is funny, because a lot of people are saying, oh, this season was trash, it was awful. I'm like, hold on a minute. Half the season was actually good. And those are the episodes with Pedro Pascal. I think any episode with Pedro Pascal still ranks among must-watch television this season. Solid work all around. We'll probably get more into the specifics of why later. It was the episodes where he wasn't there where it starts feeling like a completely different show, written by far less competent people and just half-assed all the way through. And I'm like, what happened? This is the same team that made season 1, right? This is, like, why did it fall so hard off a cliff so fast? It's funny because episode 3 wasn't even that bad. Episode 3, Joel's dead. And I'm like, oh, okay. I have some fears, but they're being curbed right now. We're mourning Joel. We spent a whole episode in Jackson getting over him and doing community votes to maybe go after Abby's crew and go to Seattle. And I liked that. It was a slower paced episode that really let it sink in that Joel's not here anymore. The other supporting characters are going to be taking over. And then we move forward into the revenge quest, which is something the game didn't even really do. We basically, in the game, just jumped right into the revenge quest. But it's when the revenge quest starts. Basically, what I'm having a main problem with is episodes 5, 4, 5, and 7. 1, 2, 3, 6 are fine. Really good even in a lot of parts, but it's 4, 5, 7.
I agree.
But that's half the season.
Yeah, and this is what you're feeling now is what I felt playing the game. Like, that's exactly how it felt, which is, it's funny because I thought it might change a little bit. And maybe it was because I was expecting it, or maybe I was going into it a little bit more positive because it was a completely different medium going from a game to a television show, but it didn't bother me that much. However, it did feel like something was missing, which is not good for a second season of a show.
Yeah.
And it's so funny, in episode 6, they basically take all the best parts, in my opinion, that happened Last of Us Part 2 game and just put them into one episode.
Episode 6 was great. All the different,
yeah,
all the different birthdays of Ellie's.
Mm-hmm.
And including stuff we never saw in the game for scene purposes. I really liked the scene where Ellie and Joel go on their first patrol together and find Eugene in the forest, and we finally see how that death played out. And I love seeing the light dimming in Ellie's eyes when Joel makes her the promise, oh, we're gonna bring Eugene back, and he'll get to say goodbye to Gale, and that's okay. And it was on the way back when he basically said, we're not going to tell Gale how it actually happened. And he had that same, and as she said later, he had that same look he gave me when he said that whatever story he told about Salt Lake City when he killed the Fireflies. And you as the audience see it too. Like, Ellie kind of spells it out and codifies it later. But as I was watching, I'm like, yeah, she sees the lies. She sees that Joel mentality of, I'm trying to spin the truth for what my moral code says is going to be a greater good. But as Ellie's already suspecting that he's lied to her, and then she sees him about to pull a lie to Gale the exact same way, that's what clicks for her. Oh, yeah, I know exactly what happened now. And then she rats him out to Gale, which, not nice, but hard to blame her in that moment. And then we get scenes. We get the porch scene, which is probably the best acted scene in the entire series up to this point.
It's very good.
Yeah. Because it's really one of the only scenes where Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey get to have strong emotional moments together this year, which is a shame we didn't get more. But then again, that's also kind of the point of Last of Us Part 2, is the regret about time lost. Just when they're making amends, Joel gets ripped from her life and brutally murdered in front of her. And that's the tragedy. You don't always get more time. And that's why it's so saddening seeing their story, all the different birthdays, and how their relationship starts to crumble around her 17th birthday, and when she moves out into the shed and starts wanting privacy. I did enjoy Pedro Pascal coming in and being like, all right, so you got like drinking, drugs, women, you're like the heavy metal, you're doing all the rebellious teenager stuff at once. Really? Tattoos. Yeah,
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah. Just his reaction. I also appreciate that the way this show handles characters of a certain age, handling Ellie's lesbianism. They're not, like, Joel is an understanding person, and he kind of comes around to the idea, but all that, like, even right from the start of that episode of like, hey, you know, I think anything between you and Tommy, you know, I got an eye for these things. And, you know, he just kind of assumes she's into Tommy, and she just laughs it off because she already knows.
Jesse.
Sorry. Yeah, Tommy would be very weird.
Be weird if it was Tommy.
Very weird. Yeah, I think you're into Jesse. And then later on, he's like, oh, you're experimenting with girls now. Like, he it's just like, it doesn't even fathom in his mind. And then later he's just,
I like that, how she says it's not an experiment.
Yeah.
I like that response.
Yeah.
It's like, this is a well-written thing.
And then there's guys like Seth, who at, you know, at the dance, he calls her a slur and basically upsets her the rest of the season, rightfully. But I also like the nuance that when push came to shove, he's still willing to rely on her to get revenge for Joel and for Jackson as a community. He still comes through and gets them their horses. Like, he's an old man from a different time, keeping in mind the outbreak happened in like 2003 or something. So I think it's interesting and realistic for people in this world to have outdated ideals, and to see it play out in the show that way, it's just interesting. It makes it feel like a more complex world. But, like, that's not his one and only point. Like, okay, he said the thing, but he apologized and he tried to make amends for it in a couple ways later. It's not so cut and dry. You can be mad at him for it, but he's also more than that. And Joel's the same way. Like, he's coming at it from a more traditionalist point of view, but he kind of comes around when he realizes, oh, yeah, this is what's actually happening. And I guess fine with it. I always liked that scene in the game, which I'm glad they adapted in this one too, where Ellie and Dina were riding through the Pride neighborhood of Seattle, and they have no idea what they're seeing. They see, like, Pride written on the wall. And what's with all the rainbows everywhere?
I guess people are very happy or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, that always amused me in the games too, because I'm like, yes, in this...
I didn't remember if that was in the game or not.
Nope, it definitely was. Yeah, it's in this post-apocalyptic era, these kids have grown up in a time where they have no knowledge of these symbologies or movements. So, like, a couple lesbians walking through this neighborhood and having no idea what they're seeing, it's just, it's amusing, but it also, once again, is good world building at the same time. So,
yeah. Agreed.
Let's address the elephant in the room. I think we've gone long enough without saying that Bella Ramsey can't carry a show. That's...
Yeah, it's weird. I don't think Bella Ramsey is... I don't think... There's so many, like, haters online, especially people, like, making comparisons to other actors. They're like, oh, this person would have done better just because they looked more like Ellie in the game. I don't think Bella was the wrong choice to play Ellie, because Bella fit that role perfectly in season one.
Did well in episode 6, too, when they're playing that role as they were originally cast.
The way Ellie is written in season 2, I don't know. It's still very childish, and it's still very... Like, in The Last of Us Part 2, the game specifically, you can tell that there is such a jump in terms of age.
Yep.
Especially after Joel's death, and how she is driven, she is harsh, she sees, like, no light at the end of the tunnel. All she wants is to kill Abby. There's so many differences, and there's this hilarious edit. It's the episode, I think it's the beginning of episode 5, where Dina is looking at the map. And someone put a laugh track over that scene with, like, every joke Ellie says.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it's in the game, Ellie is, like, so pissed at her that she came along knowing that she was pregnant.
Yeah.
It's like, why the f*** are you here then? And, yeah, Ellie, like, she's becoming this... And it's so weird because I watched the, like, recap episodes that they put out on HBO after each episode. And they keep talking about, like, especially at the last episode, like, after Ellie kills Owen and Mel.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, she is now this monster that she can never come back from. I don't feel that whatsoever.
No.
I don't think... You feel that in the game because you're killing hundreds of unnamed, like, antagonists throughout the game. And the deaths of the, like, Abby's friend groups are much more brutal. It's not just one bullet clat to killing both of them.
I rewatched the way Ellie killed Owen and Mel in the game versus the way she did it in the finale. And in the finale, it's basically Owen grabs a gun, tries to shoot her. She shoots Owen, and the ricochet of the bullet goes through him and slices Mel's neck open. And ooh, sad. It's kind of accidental. She didn't mean to do that. But in the game, Ellie shows up with the gun. Owen tries to disarm her. She backs up a little bit. She kind of breaks away from Owen. She shoots him off her. And so it's kind of the same with Owen. But then Mel attacks her with her blade. They're struggling. And then she pushes Mel off and gets her on the ground and then stabs her in the throat. It's a lot more violent. And then she finds out she was pregnant, very similar to the game. But, like, she's dead already. There was no...
Yeah.
Like, in the show, there's this whole saving. Yeah, there's this whole drawn out, oh, cut the baby out. I'm going to try not to die until you cut the baby out. She'd already killed her in the game.
I was about to turn it off if they were about to do, like, a
C-section.
Forced C-section out of nowhere. I was like, there's no way that they're going to make us watch this. I thought that would have been too far. And I really don't care about, like, violence or gore or whatever that much. But I was just like, Jesus Christ, you're really trying to hone in the fact that Ellie is a bad person. You're not portraying it, really.
I was pretty disturbed by that one scene where the scars were, they took the sickle and gutted the guy on the news. Oh, that was
terrible.
Pretty graphic. So the C-section might not have been out of left
field. Speaking of scars, what was the point of her landing on the f-ing island?
Oh, that was
that
so
episode?
Stupid. That was so stupid.
It was a waste of time.
I'll tell you what I think.
5 minutes of nothing.
I'll tell you what I think that was.
I know why they did it.
What I believe I heard at some point was that there was a cut storyline from Last of Us Part 2 that basically did the same thing. That they're like, oh, we're going to throw this in because something we didn't see in the game. And I'm like, this
level.
Is... Well, first of all, you're killing the momentum of the finale for no reason. And second, it wasn't that great a scene. This should have been cut for time. And then she gets right back on the boat.
She gets back in the boat. What was the point?
And gets to the marina. Useless.
Oh my God.
Absolutely useless.
Awful.
But I think
that was just them being like, oh, it just exactly like you said, like, oh, we wanted to have Ellie on Scar Island at one point, and this was the only way we did it. You could have also just not done it. You could have just had it not happen whatsoever.
Ellie had basically had nothing to do with the Seraphs in the game. It, like, they were a background problem she kind of faced. Like, the Seraph plot is a lot more important with Abby because, you know, wolves versus the Seraphs. We already know that's going on. But it's, so, like, you have to establish they exist. But also,
yeah,
it wasn't unnecessary.
You already did that.
For her to get to that island.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to before, Ellie killing them and then immediately feeling so remorseful, like, I understand that because she was remorseful in the game too. But in the show, the only person that she brutally tortured was Nora, which basically played out like the game. That's fine. She had regrets, just like in the game. But the problem is, the rest of the show, she basically doesn't have that same determination. In the game, like you were getting at before, she is laying down a trail of bodies in Seattle, left and right. Men, women, dogs, doesn't matter. And that's another thing that bothered me, was they didn't even have the guts to show her killing the dog in the marina. They didn't even show the dog. They didn't want to set that up. This season is so, like, it, to maybe TV watchers, I don't know. If you're just watching this as a TV show, you're like, oh man, there's some brutal scenes in here. I come from the game and I'm like, they sanitized the hell out of this season. They
very much so.
Really went out of their way to try to make Ellie not look like she was losing her humanity. Mm-hmm. They try to make her look like a good person in this situation who had the moral high ground, when the entire point of the game was Abby and her friends came to Jackson and killed one guy she goes to Seattle and basically lays waste to most of a military group she had no beef with. And like, she basically brings a one-woman war to avenge one guy and loses her humanity and kind of sight of the goal in the progress. Like, was Joel worth all these people who weren't innocent, mind you, by any stretch? They're clearly a very bad group who does very bad things. They slaughter men, women, and children indiscriminately for goals which the people of Jackson definitely would not agree with. These aren't good people. That's fine. But also, the fact that we never really see her kill anybody this season and still feeling so guilty, like the few times she actually tortures or kills a couple people that she was going after.
She barely kill one fucking stalker.
Yeah. They barely even kill infected. So she kills like two people this whole season. And then at the very end, she kills Owen and Mel. And these are people she intended to kill all along. She was going after them. And then she feels bad about it. That hit harder in the game when you find out Mel is pregnant, because that was the moment in the game where, after you basically kill half the population of Seattle, she finds somebody who kind of brings her back down to reality. Like, man, I'm traveling with a pregnant woman, and like, the lives I'm ending, it could have been anything. Like, I just killed an unborn baby. Right now, what have I become in this revenge quest? Whereas in the show, it's like, oh, well, that was kind of accidental anyway, and you haven't really debased yourself very much on this journey. So you haven't really lost anything at this point. You did like two bad things instead of a whole season's worth of bad things crashing down on your conscience by the end. Last of Us, and also, yeah. I think in the filmmaking as well, that all comes together, because in Last of Us Part 2, the game, the entire atmosphere, a lot of people have criticized this season for sort of feeling like a gal pal adventure through Seattle, and some of the game felt that way. Like, day one Seattle in the game did kind of feel that way. You got this big open area.
It was pretty chill.
Where, like, Dina... Nobody was there. Yeah. Where, like, Dina and Ellie are just riding through this open Seattle on Shimmer and getting to know each other better, and we're having like expositional moments. And it basically feels like that in the show too. But then the show keeps going with that tone. Whereas in the game, Shimmer gets blown up and they're like
destroyed.
Boom.
And absolutely gone.
And then they find out Dina's pregnant, and then Dina gets injured, and it, like, the weather keeps getting worse. The encroaching storm darkens the very mood of the game as it goes, to the point where, like, she's fighting through the mud and the blood and the rain, and like, to keep laser focus on this target through worsening conditions, and the army and like the tone of Seattle as this war escalates just keeps getting worse and worse. Like, the game had such an amazing tone that I never really saw here. Like, the elements were all in the show, but they never felt like they were building to anything. It just felt like, okay, they're here because they were here in the game, but we're not using them to build a mood.
And not a single one of them picked up a collectible.
I know.
No Firefly pendant, no comic book.
It's bull.
No secret, no nothing.
So stupid.
You made me spend around 3 days in Seattle and you're not even going to pick up shit. That's not true, actually. She found a Sesame Street book. However, I would argue she missed a classic in a Robert Munsch book that was right beside it. She should have picked that book.
I saw one.
What the hell was it?
I don't remember now. It was like, it had
My Baby Will Be, whatever that one.
Oh, yeah. I saw one funny Reddit comment that talked about when Dina was basically making their packing list in Jackson. They're like, oh, so Ellie's starting her quest in Seattle with more than I picked up in the entire game. So I guess that guy was playing on Grounded or something. I don't know.
Poor guy.
But
yeah, it's pretty funny. It's weird also how they, like, to me, I feel like they've dumbed down Ellie to make Dina smarter.
100%.
Which is the worst thing you can do as a writer, is dumbing down someone to make someone smarter. Because Ellie's packing up to go and kill Abby. He's like, well, do you have any medical supplies? How much ammo do you have? Blah, blah. And Ellie's like, oh, I didn't think that through. She's fucking been with Joel for like 6 years, 5 years, whatever.
Yeah.
She's been with Joel for all this time. She would have known this by now. And it's just all a lot of probably like little things that I'm forgetting.
Well, even there's that scene where like, oh, Dina's trying to explain the concept of triangulation to her.
Yeah.
And just stuff like that where I'm like, Ellie's not even trying. She's letting Dina do all the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
I will say one change I enjoyed with this season was giving Dina and Joel a relationship. Because we already knew from the game why Tommy would show up in Seattle. We got that. So the fact that Tommy shows up in Seattle later, not really a surprise. But the fact that Dina came along with her because Joel was something of a father figure to her as well, that lent more gravitas to why she's here. And
yeah,
not just because she's in love with Ellie, but also because she wanted to avenge Joel just as badly. Although I am mixed on the ending of that, the way Dina, just through her facial acting alone, basically communicates how heartbroken she is when Ellie describes that. Yeah. Just describes what Joel did and that Ellie knew about it all along. I don't know if I really cared for that, but that might just be me wanting Joel's memory better preserved. And Dina not being okay with that is like,
yeah.
It's nice that Ellie's okay with that. She's, in a way, she's like the true daughter. Mm-hmm. She's the one who's like, okay, I saw my dad's faults and I'm still going along with this, where Dina sees faults in a father figure and kind of gives him up at that. That's what I was seeing.
I didn't like her reaction to that because like a few episodes prior, she gave like a whole speech about her family dying.
Yeah.
And it was like, it didn't matter if it was Abby's dad, someone else's dad, blah, blah. I was going to kill that person. And I know what you're feeling and I know how you would feel.
Yeah.
She said it didn't matter the reason. And I still don't think it matters the reason why Ellie wants to kill Abby. People are just getting in her way. She just wants to kill one person. What's so wrong with that?
Which feels a little bit...
Oh, man.
Which I will say, as an argument, feels a bit more reasonable in this show when she only killed 3 or 4 people.
Oh, for sure.
As opposed to...
See, in the game, it's like 100, 400, something like that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Which is funny when you really look at Abby's crew very early on. Who, as I mentioned before, they get to Jackson and they see the lights all on and they're like, they're a crew of 6 and they're like, what do you think we're going to go, like, just break into this community just to kill one guy? That's stupid. Like, we should probably turn back. We're on a suicide mission. Mm-hmm. And then 2 young women go into Seattle and try to fight an army and don't even really question themselves once. It's just kind of funny how Abby's crew had a bit of, like, yeah, Abby kept going with it, just like Ellie kept going with it. But Abby had other people around her telling her, you're taking unnecessary risks and putting everyone in danger. And no one was really trying to tell Ellie that, at least not for the longest time. Mm-hmm. Not until
How did Abby know that they were in the theater? Because in the game, Ellie pulls out the map and is like, you better point to it. Blah, 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 or whatever. And then she drops the map, which is a stupid fucking plot device anyway in the game.
Yeah.
But she doesn't pull out the map here. So how the fuck does she know she's in the theater?
Oh, same way Tommy found them in the theater, don't you know? I like that. That was a...
What did Tommy say?
Well, the first episode, he basically said, shut up and forget about it. Because maybe the writers hadn't figured out an answer yet.
Oh, no.
The second time, he said he and Tommy tracked the most likely route they would have taken into Seattle, and then they found Shimmer and the music store, and then they said we searched within a couple of blocks Like, we basically just did it. Like, we split up and searched, and then I found you at the theater.
Okay, sure.
Which I was like,
I guess Abby would be smart enough to, like, I guess, track them. Track her in a way, I guess, or figure out.
You know what?
It happened really quick. I don't know.
The only reason I'm not going to call that a plot hole right now is because we're not going to get the answer for two more years, and they have 2 years to write themselves out of it.
Okay, this is what pissed me off, too. The momentum of this show, to me, was already going downhill after Joel's death.
Oh, yeah.
And then we get to the Ferris wheel, the aquarium, and was barely an aquarium. You don't even... Oh, now I'm reminded of the dog scene.
Yeah.
Now I just think about it. I was like, what dog are you talking about? And now I remember.
Yeah. They didn't have the guts to make Ellie kill the dog.
And then Ellie accidentally kills Mel.
Yep.
Kills Owen because Owen pulled the gun because he thinks he's a quick draw, but he's not. He's the voice of reason in the group. I don't care. I don't care about anybody in this friend group. And they're going to make me care about him for an entire season. And then that happens. And then Abby, or they go back to the theater. Abby shows up, somehow overpowers a man twice her age. Sorry.
Hey, look.
I'm sure it's going to be filmed in the show.
It was more believable with Game Abby, I'll say. Oh.
I guess Caitlin Dever didn't want to use steroids or something. It would have been really funny if she did. I'm sure they'll film it in a way where she snuck up behind him and just had his back to her the whole time.
Yeah.
But then and then it cuts to black. It's when the shot goes off, which everybody in the game knows what happens.
Yep.
And then it cuts to her in Seattle day one. And you're gonna make me wait 2 years to watch a character that I really don't like. Or don't really care about. I hate Abby more in the game because of things that happen in the game and just because of game mechanics, how she's given all the best weapons and stuff and all that jazz, whatever. In the show, I just don't really care. They don't really show her that much.
You know why this season is very... One thing extra that makes this season frustrating is that I almost fully anticipate season 3 will be better. I feel like Abby's...
I agree.
Well, first of all, as I was saying before, I don't think Bella Ramsey is capable enough as this character to carry a show in their own right. I think they were miscast as Ellie to begin with, never really gave me the feeling of young Abby, despite playing the role as written fine in season one. They did a serviceable job. Here, totally missed the mark for where Ellie should have been in a mental state. Not that, like, when they needed to get the emotional moments, I could see them delivering, and it was, but it felt like acting, you know? It never felt naturalistic. It felt like, okay, you're doing the moments, but it feels like you're acting. And everybody else, I just feel like I'm watching the characters. But Caitlin Dever, very early on, I could tell she's a very capable performer. She really blew me away with her couple of scenes as Abby at the beginning and in the very last episode here. So I think she is a very strong candidate for leading an entire season of TV. And I think in the game, Abby got a more interesting story anyway. Ellie had basically just a classic revenge quest, which they couldn't even really adapt right in this. But Abby's story had a bit more, there was a little bit more to it because this is like, it's kind of like the post-revenge quest thing. Like, well, Abby already got, she killed the guy she wanted, now what? And that's what made her story kind of more interesting in the game because she was like, well, I don't really know what to do now until the next thing falls into her lap. And I also have faith that they can make the supporting cast good because the supporting cast in season 2, which we haven't really gotten into, but the supporting cast in season 2 carried the show. So I feel like with Caitlin Dever in the lead and a capable supporting cast around her, I think season 3 could be a more engaging all-around season of TV. even without Pedro Pascal in it. So that's why I feel like a lot of the haters of this show right now, if they come back to season three and actually make it through, I feel like the show can get back on track next time. Because we're past the weakest part of the story, except for like the conclusion, which is still going to be very controversial no matter how you cut it. But I feel like we're in for a better stretch next time based on the elements I'm seeing set up.
Yeah, that's fair. I hate the 2-year wait. I feel like...
Oh, it's stupid. It's ridiculous.
They should have filmed these seasons back to back, which would have been insane for them to do, but it would have given them... Like, 2 years is way too long just for momentum. It's way too long. It was different with season one because of that ending and how, you know, Joel kills everybody in the hospital and then he says, I swear, and you're like, oh, how is she... Does she really believe him or is she not? And at the end of this, it's just a freaking very slow, drawn-out revenge quest with some flashbacks, like, thrown in, and it's, I don't know. It just felt like I was on cruise control the whole time. I didn't really feel the drive to find Abby from Ellie. I'll be honest. The flashback with his dad, with Joel's dad, I thought that was pointless as well. I understand the message of it. I thought the acting was phenomenal.
Do you love me some Tony Dalton?
I understand. He's an amazing actor.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. It's a powerful message. I hope you do a little better than me. And it's a nice callback at the end. But as soon as that scene was over, I was like, okay, let me go back to what I was trying to watch, please. Yeah. Like, I get it. I get why they did it. It was nice. And perfect casting for Joel's dad.
For sure.
if I'm being honest here.
I thought it was just a well-written scene, and I was just kind of clamoring for those by that point in the show. After episodes 4 and 5, I was like, oh, a scene I enjoy watching. Okay. I'll take it.
Yeah. I want to say some positives before I go into my real negatives.
Isabella Marquette.
I will say, thank you. Perfect casting.
She's
phenomenal.
Excellent. Carries this show on her freaking back.
Stole the show. I loved her from episode 1. Loved her all the way to episode 7.
The charisma on that woman. Every single line, I'm like, I'm putty in your hands.
Good job, Dora.
Yeah.
She played Dora.
Oh, really?
In the movie. Please, no haters come at me. It's not a remark on her skin color. She actually played Dora in the live action movie.
She's playing Hawk Girl in Superman.
I saw that.
Yeah. I'm more excited. Even more excited for Superman now because I like this actress now. I never seen her in anything.
Yeah. It's very interesting to me. I wonder how it works in Hollywood because it's like, do they know an actress is about to get big when they're like signed on to like a show or something? It's like, oh, she's going to be in The Last of Us. Let's put her in Superman. And like they've come out so close.
Yeah.
Because I feel like back...
Two years ago.
Well, she's been in a lot of stuff, I should say.
But a couple years ago, some Hollywood conspiracy people are planning and they're like, this woman, we're going to make her a household name in 2 years. Watch The Last of Us pop off and then Superman will bring it home and everyone will know her.
Yeah, anyway, I really like her acting. I like how smart she is. I like her in this because not only do I think the actor is phenomenal, I think she's written a hell of a lot better than in the game. Whereas from memory serves,
I agree.
I think in day one of Seattle, when you're like venturing around the open world type stage, she does a lot of shit talking about Joel. Well, not shit talking, but she's like, well, do you think they'd kill Joel for a reason? And I remember playing it, and by like the third time she brought up, I was like, what are we doing here? Are we going on a revenge quest or not? Are you on my side or not? Whereas here, she's fully into it. She's got Ellie's back. And I also liked how her pregnancy brain is kind of fucking with her a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
It's not her being dumbed down for, you know, for the sake of being dumb, like that stalker scene with like 20 of them. She's just legitimately scared because now this is after her and Ellie have gotten together. Also, weird scene at the after that scene. Not them getting together is not weird. It was her reaction to
the context. Anyway.
Yeah. So her acting is phenomenal. I hope to see more of her in season 3, but you're not going to see much of her.
No.
I don't know. She's a phenomenal actress. I thought she was one of the best parts about season 2.
I also quite liked young Mazzino as Jesse. I thought he did an excellent job as well.
Phenomenal. Perfect casting. I was like, I wonder who they're going to cast as Jesse. And the moment I saw him on screen, I went, perfect.
I'm like, that's Jesse.
They nailed it. Yeah. they nailed it. It was so good. Rest in peace, Jesse.
Yeah.
This is the part that pissed me off in the game. Where it was, okay. Because season 3 is going to be, you're going to try and humanize Abby.
Yep.
Because in the game, you don't really know where you play as her, and then she kills Joel, blah, blah, blah. You play as Ellie for the part for 10 hours.
Yeah.
And then you get to this scene where she kills Jesse right away, and she got a gun pointed at Tommy. And then the next 10 hours is humanizing her, and then that scene plays again, stuff happens. And it's just, I don't care about you. I don't like you. You're killing everybody that I like that's on Ellie's side and hurting and maiming others. It's just like, why you gotta do that? And it sucks. I understand why they did it. I understand why they killed Jesse, because he's the morally good character in this god-awful show, right? He's all about community.
Yeah.
He's all about doing the right thing.
And he didn't want to be there.
That doesn't work in this world.
Because it's...
Didn't want to be there.
It's sadder, because he's the only one of the... He's the only one in that place who did not want to be there. And then you shoot him in
the head. I hope I see him in more stuff.
Oh, yeah. He was excellent.
Honestly. Has he gotten anything upcoming, I wonder? Interesting. One upcoming thing. Something called Skateboard.
Okay.
I don't know what that is. Oh, it's a short. He was in a SZA music video. SZA music video. I forgot about that.
Okay.
It hasn't been in much, though. Yeah, I assume he'll be in a lot of stuff. He was very good.
And Gabriel Luna as well as Tommy.
Very good.
The supporting cast carries this show. Oh, Jeffrey Wright as Isaac was really good as well.
Phenomenal. I loved his introduction scene. It's very weird to see Josh Peck.
Always funny when he shows up. Yeah.
I feel so bad for Josh Peck because he will be typecast just as this goofy comedian guy. Also just stuff he did as like an influencer as well. So seeing him in like The Last of Us and Oppenheimer really throws me off. And it's got nothing to do with him. I think he did pretty good for his character in the show.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those guys. It's just that face. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I see Josh Peck and I think it's Josh Peck, not...
Yeah.
Hey, he's in a role.
It's like watching like a random... show and then Mark Hamill shows up and you can only picture the Joker or Luke Skywalker. Like you can't just not picture that. It's weird. It's got nothing. It's I'm so sorry, Josh Peck. You have an unfortunate career. But yeah, Jeffrey Wright.
You played a very killable person in this show.
Yeah.
I was fine
so
seeing
good. I loved
his
interrogation scene was phenomenal. I loved his one small thing. I loved his, the way he like, he kills the other wolves and the way he throws the grenades in, like he doesn't care.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I thought that was just phenomenal acting. Let's not pretend like this guy hasn't been one of the best actors in the past, like half decade. Cause he has been.
He's been crushing it in everything.
He's so good.
I didn't even know he was in this season.
Yeah. I completely forgot he played Isaac in the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's the same actor.
Wow. Cause I was okay, wow, Jeffrey Wright's in this show. That's weird. They're just getting him to play a random Fedra guard. I didn't really look at his shirt to say Isaac. And then I saw him like, oh, you're the disillusioned Fedra member. Oh, okay. And then I see him talking to the rebels. I'm like, oh, this is Isaac. Oh, this is gonna be an Isaac origin scene. Got it. And then
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the one small of like those small bit of comedy with Isaac, with the other wolf leader, who's like, what are you in love with Abby or something? And he's like, what?
You're saying a man your age. And
he's like, what the f-?
Not like it has to happen. She's my successor.
That was my reaction. I was just like, what the f- are you talking about? It was the most random thing.
The writing on this show sometimes.
The writing on the show is weird. The spores scene was well filmed, well acted, and everything. The production design of this show is phenomenal.
Oh, for sure. The sets look good.
Awards for that. However, I hate that they brought the spores back after making it a point to not bring them in season one.
I feel like their idea this time was to say that in season one, it was like, oh, well, just putting the spores in is going to make everything unbelievable and dangerous. But this hospital, as they kind of mentioned, like in a one-off line in this show, was ground zero for cordyceps. That's where the first cordyceps patients came. So they're like, oh, well, in this very, very dangerous spot, the disease has mutated in a way not seen elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Which, nope, that's a spoiler for the game. But
oh,
that's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. A part of me was like, well, you made Craig Mazin, who I love. He's a phenomenal director. You made it a point to not bring in season one. And now you brought back in. But the way you wrote it, okay, I kind of believe you. All right.
In this specific place, with the lore behind
it. It's the only part that makes sense.
Yeah. If it showed up,
if it was like a random museum,
yeah,
I'd be like, no.
If it was showing up elsewhere, I'd say, okay, you're breaking your own internal consistency. But at ground zero, all right. I'll let that slide.
Is this a spoiler to say a name of something?
Depends how much context you give behind it.
Do you think they'll do the Rat King?
I hope so.
Okay. I think they will.
They kind of have to, right? Anyway, that's like...
I'll leave it at that.
It's sort of a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
It's a fun moment in the game. Anyway.
It scared the crap out of me. That's what that did.
Yeah, I really like Dina. I think Dina carried the season, if I'm being honest.
Oh, yeah. Every scene with her, I'm so good. Why is Bella Ramsey here? Sorry.
Oh, she's going to be in Peacemaker, right?
Is she?
Is it Peacemaker or Superman she's going to be in?
She's in Superman. I don't know about Peacemaker. If she's in Peacemaker, I'm assuming she's also playing Hawkgirl as well, but...
I can't remember the trailer that I saw her in. If it was Peacemaker Season 2 or Superman.
I don't know if she showed up unmasked in Superman trailer, but Hawkgirl was in Superman trailer.
It might be the Peacemaker trailer then.
Mm.
Yeah, she's great.
But it's like I was just saying, if Bella Ramsey and Ellie were not in this season whatsoever, I'd be like, oh, Dina, Joel's adopted daughter from the start of this season, goes off to avenge him to Seattle despite being pregnant and does all the prep work and plans and goes off on this quest, and I'm like, why is Ellie here again? She's basically done nothing meaningful the entire season.
Ellie also just, she sucks. Like, in terms of, not her character, but just like...
Her character, too,
fighting
though.
Skills is terrible. They make a whole point in the first episode that she's learning jiu-jitsu or whatever, and that she can take a punch. She doesn't really kill anybody. Like, the first group of wolves that they come across, they run away. It's going from game to screen. It's like, how much do you want to depict in terms of violence?
Her character's character. I think the other problem is that the way she was portrayed in season one doesn't help now, because the part of the point of season two was this cute, bubbly, innocent kid from season one. Just season one, but from game one. She's an adult now and on a hardened revenge quest, where she is losing her humanity, and this is not what Joel would want for her. She's stripping all the good parts of herself away. But already in season one, she was written to be aggressive and abrasive and still a bubbly kid, but not nearly as innocent. So I feel like you throw her into this position in season two, and she doesn't feel like she's fallen very far from where she was before. She, like, tortures a few more people, and, oh, I feel bad about that immediately. I killed a couple people by accident. But she still feels pretty much like the same Ellie, just a little angrier.
Yeah.
Whereas Game Ellie was like, you see the soul leaving her eyes as the game goes. You see every decision she makes takes something out of her and takes her further from the girl, the young girl that we escorted across America in the last game that we're all so familiar with. It takes us away from Joel's Ellie into becoming something a bit more monstrous that made everyone uncomfortable, which was part of the reason that game was so controversial. But that was also the point. It was trying to make you uncomfortable by doing hard decisions. The show was shying away from those hard decisions at every turn.
Yeah.
And then basically made Dina the competent one. It didn't even make Ellie the competent one.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just sad. I think if they just wrote Bella more, or Bella, if they wrote Ellie more competent.
Yeah.
It would have been a much more interesting show. Or just have Ellie be more blood hungry. One major change that we haven't touched on at all that I thought was great was the assault on Jackson, like the Horde.
Yep.
You haven't seen it, but this is what Game of Thrones should have ended should have ended with. It should have been this. You could see the battle. It was filmed properly. You knew what was going on. People were actually dying. Not main characters, obviously, but
something else going on. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping them busy.
Yeah, I really liked it. And I feel like they did that on purpose because they knew as they were writing it, not much else was happening.
Yeah.
Through the later half of the season. I saw some people criticizing the bloater just like dying seconds before reaching Tommy. I will say that's very video gamey.
Yep.
Of him just draining the fuel in his flamethrower and then it just dying last second. That's very video gamey.
It's perfect.
It
was a well done scene.
More people we should have known should have died. And that, but also we didn't know that many people in Jackson.
Not yet.
For it to like hit. I still think it was filmed phenomenal. Just the absolute chaos of it. I don't know how they film these, man. Like, it's crazy to me just like thinking about it and being like, oh yeah, that's like, I come from, I guess, like an animation brain or a video game brain was like, oh, you can just design it. But this is like real life. You gotta get real life extras and film like muzzle flashes and like explosions and then comp them in later and all the CGI you do in late. It's wild. So much hard work goes into this stuff. So I want to like praise the show for that episode and that effort.
This is a backhanded compliment, but I like the attack on Jackson so much because they dropped the ball on every other action scene after that.
Yep.
Jackson, think about what Jackson did that everything else didn't. It was filmed in broad daylight, not dark so dark my TV can't even see it. It was edited in a way that was well-paced. I could see what was going on. There was a sense of scale. There were multiple characters involved. There was escalating tension. Things were going wrong, like the flamethrower. Like, there were different levels and layers to it. And it was well-paced. A lot of the other ones, I think the subway scene in particular, when they're running, I'm like, I can't tell what the hell is going on. The editing is so slapdash. The scene's so dark. I can't understand what's visually happening. Like, I know they're getting out and they're trying to make it all seem frantic, but I feel nothing while watching this.
Yeah.
And I just felt that for a lot of the other ones, even ones that weren't like, were kind of teasing action, but not getting full on, like when they fought the Seraphites a few times. I'm like, okay, it's in darkness and you're kind of fast cutting between everything so quickly. I'm just bored. It sucks.
Yeah.
Bring me back to Jackson.
Yeah, I agree. I thought the subway scene was all right. I particularly just like the part when they're actually in the subway and they're like covered in like dead bodies and skulls and stuff.
Yeah,
the Seraphite stuff was like, meh. It was okay. I liked how, though, the lighting was a bit natural like the only like pure light was from the torches.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I thought that was pretty cool. It was kind of like the game. But yeah, when you open up with Jackson, you kind of have to follow it up a little bit. Not in terms of scale, but just like entertainment.
Yeah.
Which sucks because they kind of back themselves into a corner, but it just kind of happens.
I saw multiple jokes after that episode where, well, that's where this season's budget went. Prepare for a lot less of this later. Okay.
So true.
Because there were times where Ellie was in the water in episode 7. I'm like, I can't tell if this is real or not.
Yeah.
And obviously it's not. And then you watch like the behind the scenes, like we did everything. We did blue screen. We did a control rig. We did stuff where she's in a tank. I'm like, well, I can tell because I have no idea what the fuck's going on.
Yep.
So funny though, when she like turns the boat, when she sees the huge wave, I was like, that's the last thing you should do. Like, because just knowing that just through like life and just like the last thing you should do is when you see a rogue wave is turn the boat on its side. But Ellie's not going to know that.
Not the way that she's written.
Swim for most of her life. Yeah. Okay. I think it's time.
Yeah.
Get
to it.
Was waiting the entire season. Why did Joel kill Eugene? How did he do it? And in my personal opinion, for someone who's never written anything professional in his life, I think they chose the most basic, boring way that they could have done it just to make Ellie snap at Joel.
But just what I'm saying is shot in the back of the head. And
yeah, man, it was just like, so he kills, like, it's brought up throughout the season, especially early on. I was like, oh, you killed my husband. I know why you did it. I just hate the way you did do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of see a little flashback, or maybe that's in the trailer. I can't remember. Things are blurring.
It was in the show too. It was like episode 1, I think.
It's like his gun's pointed to his back. It's like, okay, maybe he gotten bit. Maybe he found out that he saved Ellie from the Fireflies. Which I thought that could have been interesting. What if Eugene was an ex-Firefly and knew? But that doesn't make sense if now that I think about it. If he was in Jackson before. Anyway. But yeah, so Eugene gets bit. And he wants to go back to say goodbye to his wife, just to see her one last time before he dies. And Joel doesn't want to do that because it's a safety risk. Ellie, legit is like, let's go through the steps. Let's go through the steps that we did in season 1, where he counts from 1 to 10 very slowly. He's not shaking, so the signs of him like turning infected, he won't be super infected by the time they get back.
He's got time. That's what they were saying.
He's got time. And Joel just straight up lies to him again, lies to Eugene and lies to Ellie once again. Looks her dead in the eye and is like, I promise, I'll bring it back.
Yep.
That's to me, Joel. That's the writers just being like, specifically Neil Druckmann.
Because I think he's just got a kind of a bit of an ego.
It's just them saying, yeah, Joel's a bad guy. There's nothing different about him. There's no redeeming qualities about him whatsoever. He hasn't learned anything from the past few months or past few years. And I just felt like it was lazy a little bit. Yeah, I understand he's trying to protect. The reason for it is like he's protecting the community. He's protecting Ellie from this bite or this bit man. But it's also just like you could. That's what bothers me about the story in particular with Last of Us game and the show, specifically part 2, is that there could have been more interesting ways of doing it, in my opinion, where you could have had it more of an argument on why Joel did this, why Abby did this, or why Ellie's doing this, where it's just kind of basic.
Yep.
Just kind of basic storytelling to me.
It's a revenge quest you've seen before.
Yeah, it's a revenge quest. It's him just kind of lying to Ellie for no reason and then bringing her in on the lie. I was like, holy f***, that's way too far. I did like how Ellie was just like, nah, I'm done. He's like, nah, this is exactly what happened. A little f***ed up, but also kind of just like, But that part also doesn't make sense because he doesn't really get reprimanded for it.
Well,
I mean, he was an infected guy, but like also
Joe followed the protocol.
I mean, he gets slapped in the face by Catherine O'Hara.
As far as the community goes, Joel followed the protocol.
Yeah.
He just kind of pulled a jerk move with Gale.
Yeah, and then another reason that I think this writing is so basic is during the confrontation scene, which I agree with you is the best acted scene in the show. Pedro Pascal is trying to win an Emmy off of one scene.
He probably will.
Probably will. Won the Actors Guild last year, or last season. Is when Ellie asks him, could they have made a cure? And it's well acted. Again, well acted, very well acted. He can't even bring himself to say the words, but he nods his head.
Mm-hmm.
And I instantly went, you don't know that. You can't trust this group that was transferring a girl who are a terrorist organization. Everybody's a terrorist in The Last of Us, what am I saying?
Yeah.
And even if they did make a cure, I'm not trusting the Fireflies to mass spread that around the world. There's no way they wouldn't have hoarded it and kept it for themselves and then tried to like influence or control the government.
It's a commodity. Whatever.
Like there's no way. And also, it's the same problem I have in the game where he never once doesn't really defend himself. That's my problem. And I know he doesn't want, there's no need for him to. Yeah. And it's like him saying I'd do it all over again is kind of defending himself.
He stands by it.
But they didn't give him a choice.
He knows what he did and he stands by it. I think that's all you needed to know. He didn't need to defend himself. To me, people who jump in to defend themselves.
I needed him to defend himself for me.
Yeah.
For someone who played as Joel.
If he had to jump in and defend himself that vehemently, that would show his insecurity. But the fact that he just said, I would do it all over again, that this is a man who knows exactly what he did. He feels bad about it, but also he would do it all again. He stands by himself. He's got no regrets.
Yeah. I hear. I just wish there was just one part where it was like, hey, they threw a flash grenade at you, knocked us both out. Took you away from me before even I could say goodbye, which now kind of makes him a hypocrite where he didn't let Eugene say goodbye.
Yeah, well.
And they were just going to straight up kill you without even asking, like, another doctor.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's just, I don't know. I just feel like the confrontation should have been more of a confrontation.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. But that's just my personal opinion. I know other people.
I'm okay with it.
Believe that.
It's.
And I knew it was going to happen the same way because Neil Druckmann is still attached to this thing.
But somehow made worse decisions this time around.
It's wild. It's wild. I think it's weird because I think maybe it's because of just me playing the game so long ago that I don't remember much of it. But I do think parts of the game that I dislike in terms of the story work better in this show because it's a show and I'm not spending 25 hours on a game. I'm just spending like 40 to 55 minutes a week just watching something. I don't know if I'll feel the same in season 3. Be very interested to see what they do with Abby's story.
Yeah.
Especially Caitlin Denver.
I'm of two minds on it, because on the one hand, I agree with you that some of the parts of the game that, this, basically everything with Abby, it's a little bit more smoothed over in the TV version, because you get, just seeing it from a more three-dimensional point of view instead of this such, like, perspective-based video game medium, it softens the blows somewhat. But also, as I've been continually saying, it's a very sanitized version. The game was controversial, but it was art. It was a statement piece. It was going for something, and it did it. And a lot of people hated what it did, but it was committed 100% to its vision. And I think what it was trying to do, it did well, even though it made a lot of people angry. Like, the show is trying to do those same things in the most half-assed way possible. It's afraid to commit because it doesn't want the same level of backlash again, and it makes a worse all-around product because of it. You would have lost more. Think about how many people dropped off when you killed off Joel. How many of your viewers left right there? You could have done anything at that point. You may as well just tell the story the way it's supposed to be told. You already lost half your audience when you killed off Joel. If you weren't going to change that, you may as well have committed to the rest. Dehumanize Ellie. Show her turning into a monster for revenge. Really hammer it home, because if you're going for, oh, revenge was bad all along, well, you barely even tried to get revenge. Most of it is just you and Dina making doe eyes at each other in Seattle. On, like,
it felt like a sitcom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, every scene after they hook up just felt very sitcom-y between Ellie and Dina. There wasn't really any conflict.
I'm going to be a dad.
Between them. That's the stupidest line I've ever heard. I was just like, you hooked up once. You had sex one time.
You know my favorite part about that line?
What?
Is the fact that the next episode used it in the recap. I'm like, oh, you're doubling down. I can't believe you're doubling down.
It's wild. I think it was the episode after that where they always do like the last time on The Last of Us. I don't know if there was a glitch on my Crave app. They played the recap twice. So I had to watch the recap twice, and I'm like, oh my God. I don't understand what the world of Last of Us is if maybe two people hook up, now they're married, but I was just like, what do you mean? You had sex one time. What do you think happens? You're just now attached to this baby?
And then she seems so butthurt when Jesse comes in and declares that he wants to be an active father.
That's another thing. She's so mad when Jesse shows up. You were about to die. You were about to get ripped to shreds. And you're pissed that Jesse showed up? Are you f***ing kidding me?
Yeah, right.
We're in the game. It's kind of random that they run into each other. Like, Ellie goes off on her own to let Dina rest or something.
Yeah.
And then runs into Jesse.
Yeah.
But now it's like, oh, Jesse fully, like, saves your ass. And you're pissed. Eh?
And I think it plays even worse in this version when she chooses to go find Abby. As opposed to helping Tommy find Tommy with Jesse.
Ooh, Tommy's just taking out wolves in the back.
Yeah, because in the game, at this point, once again, we've seen her so locked in on revenge, seen her commit so many atrocities in the name of this, it makes perfect sense that, you know what, I'm going to leave Tommy be. Based on the sniper sounds on the radio, he's doing all right. I'm going to let Jesse handle this, and I'm going to do the thing I came here to do. Got it? Fine. But in the show,
someone needs to make an edit where it's like, it's just the sounds of the walkie-talkie in the background of just people screaming bloody murder.
Yeah.
And then just intercut into it with Jesse, be like, he needs our help. We got to go protect Tommy. Holy f***, he's killing everybody. Oh my God.
That'd be amazing.
Isaac's dead. Everybody's dead. He hasn't missed once. And that's what's like playing against that level in Grounded. When you're trying to... Anyway, no spoilers for the game, but yeah.
Yeah.
Just shots.
I would like to see that edit. But yeah, in the game, it makes sense why she'd go after Abby, Mel, and Owen at the marina instead of going to help Tommy. But in this show, she was so non-committal for this revenge quest the entire time. I'm like, well, you know they're at the marina right now. You know where they are. Go save Tommy. You're in no rush. Like, I know Dina's hurt, but, like, why can't you do that? Like, Tommy and Jesse showed up at the marina before you were even done there. They came back to get you, and you just killed them. So, like, there was time.
Like, right after, too.
There was time to do both. Why? Just, it made her look so much worse.
Just because it happened in the game. Yeah, it's so dumb. I don't believe Ellie's the monster that the writers are saying that she is.
Well, because they didn't make her out to be one in this version.
They didn't make her out to be one. In the game, she is a little bit. I also wanted to kill Abby and every single person one in Seattle. Which, looking back on it, doesn't feel good because a lot of those extra voice actors are from Critical Role. Oh, yeah. So you hear like Sam Riegel screaming in the background. You're like, oh no.
But once again, that was the entire point. The game was trying to make the viewer as complicit as Ellie in being fully locked in on this revenge quest. And who cares how many atrocities I have to commit to get the guy, to get the woman who killed Joel. The gamer and Ellie fully locked in until you have to play through this slog of an adventure, and like killing people in the game is not fun.
No.
It's a weird game because it makes murder feel like murder.
Mm-hmm.
You're not. And once again, people criticize that. It's not fun to murder people in that game. Like, no, that's the idea.
It's not supposed to.
Yeah.
It's not Doom.
Yeah.
It's the complete opposite. Couldn't think of two opposite sides of examples of murder. It's The Last of Us and then Doom. Doom is like hyphenated violence to the max.
Yep.
How many people does Ellie kill in this season? Owen, Mel, by accident.
I think she killed a wolf.
That
at the
random
radio,
wolf person.
At the radio tower.
Nora.
She didn't even kill Nora.
Is that it?
She didn't even kill Nora. She full out.
She didn't kill Nora. She let her.
She tortured her and said, "I left her."
Three people, and you're saying she's a monster?
That I can think of. Yeah, I'm just saying. I understand the people who are
infected don't count.
No, I understand the people who are fine with her not being a monster this season. A lot of people preferred she wasn't like that in the game, and I get that. I sympathize with you, but also, it doesn't make for a very compelling narrative to see her basically do nothing at all, does it? To make no hard decisions and change very little from start to end. It makes all the decisions that they... Once again, it makes stuff at the very end, like the marina, feel even more forced because she did it in the game. But her motivation by that point is a lot more compelling in the game. By this point, it doesn't feel earned. That's the biggest thing, is it doesn't feel earned. None of it does.
Unbelievable.
By the time she even got to Seattle, it was like, I'm basically over Joel. We barely don't even talk about him until it comes up again later. Dina seems more invested for most of the revenge quest than Ellie does. Ellie's more concerned.
As soon as Dina reveals that she's pregnant, Ellie's just like, who are we here for? Who are we here to kill? It's kind of wild.
Ridiculous.
I'm so interested to see how they do stuff in season 3. Like, just in terms, because the Abby confrontation is going to be interesting. The post-confrontation is going to be wild.
That's why I think season 3's got more potential, because season 3 doesn't really have the baggage season 2 did. Season 3, once again, not to spoil what's going to happen, but like, it's very much unconnected to anything going on with Ellie for the longest time. It's it's a lot more about the wolves and the Seraphites and that conflict going on in Seattle and Abby's role in this conflict. And like, it's for all intents and purposes, a fresh story until what Ellie was doing kind of starts to creep up. And like, oh, there's a thing happening.
I'm very much of one of those people that have the opinion, excuse me, someone just fell from my desk, that maybe in some other universe, that Abby's story in The Last of Us Part 2 should just have been the whole game by itself. And then maybe they cross paths in Part 3, we don't know. That's another discussion. So yeah, I agree with you. I think Season 3 will be interesting. I just hated it, playing it during part 2 because of how much I hated the character and how much it felt being force-fed to play as Abby.
Yep.
However, in the show, I'm just kind of interested. Be like, okay. He was a super villain, apparently, that Ellie's been trying to hunt that we haven't seen since episode 2 and then shows up at the end of 7, overpowers a man twice her age and size.
But what I will say is at the end there, when she's giving that that monologue. I let you live and you wasted it. I felt it a lot more this time. Because I'm she did. She did nothing.
She did.
I'm like, at least, at the very least, you were like killing a bunch of pretty bad soldiers in the game, but like this time she really did waste it.
They didn't even learn about pride properly.
No.
They could have done that.
What a waste.
Although I bet a whole episode on pride would have, angered a lot of people online. But at least something would have happened. I don't know. This has been a weird season. There was parts of it I liked, parts of it I didn't liked. And the parts I didn't like, it was just boring. Parts I really didn't like is just stuff I hate about the game.
If you see in the opening credits, Pedro, starring Pedro Pascal, those runs were worth watching.
That's true. That's very true.
But if it doesn't have Pedro Pascal on the cast list, then you play the game instead and come back when Pedro Pascal is on screen.
Just have the show on mute and start playing the game.
Yeah. Which is another thing I have to mention that I haven't brought up to this point was the pacing of it. In the game, you get so much more time to really live and breathe Seattle and the mood of this. But I felt like in this show, we're just hopping from one big set piece to the next. We're basically just playing the cutscenes of the game in a bad way. Where I'm like, ooh, yeah. I wish there was more time to show the sneaking around and let the tension build, have more confrontations. Give us 8 episodes for one. You could have used that 8th episode this season.
Yeah, I feel like something, an episode was definitely missing just to show kind of Ellie's capability in terms of just like her skills and...
Oh, yeah.
Like the jiu-jitsu scene in the first episode is not enough. Like, yep. I don't care. You say, oh, she's been training for a while. Well, you didn't show any of it besides her killing that one wolf. And she was even struggling then. So... Yeah, there need to be more, I think, not action, but just doing something. Or sneaking around.
Let it breathe.
More of just...
It's too fast.
Yeah. So fast. That's kind of what I felt with the... Because if you take episode 6 out, which is all the flashbacks, you go from her...
Getting to Seattle in episode 4.
Killing Nora. Yeah.
She gets to Seattle in episode 4, they do nothing. Episode 5, they go to the radio tower, they kill Nora, and that's it. In episode 7, she basically gets straight to the marina, kills Owen and Mel, and they're ready to leave Seattle without even getting Abby.
Yeah.
It's the most truncated 3 days, where in the video game that 3 days was like, oh, we're basically playing Ellie day and night.
It took forever.
For 10 hours.
Oh, no, this is a spoiler. Oh, I'll talk to you after.
Okay.
There's a part in the game from Abby's perspective that I hope they do, because it was decently done, and I wonder how they'll do it.
Can you give any slight more context without spoiling it?
I'll give you a fun one.
Okay.
Alfred Hitchcock.
Alfred Hitchcock.
Just think of his filmography.
I'm thinking of... I don't know why The Birds comes to mind first. Which is stupid.
All right, I'll tell you later.
Okay.
No, but yeah. Yeah, there just need to be more. And I'm afraid of what's going to happen. It's going to happen. Season 3 is going to be more enjoyable because that's what it was in the game. I was playing as her. But then every time I saw Abby talk, I was like, ah.
Yeah.
Also, I'm glad. I don't know, maybe it's because TV audiences are much more calmer, much more tame. But I haven't heard of any, like, threats or, like, bashing, like, towards Caitlin Denver that I did for, like, when Laura Bailey or the character model for Abby back in the day.
Yep.
Which I will say again, never do that.
Never.
Never, ever, like, threaten an actor for doing their job and portraying a character that you didn't like. That's so awful. Laura Bailey's, like, son was involved, too, in, like, death threats. Like, that's terrible. Ugh. Don't, like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
And also, like, as much as I hate Abby as a character, Laura Bailey won the BAFTA. So there. Everybody shut up. She earned it. She did a phenomenal job.
Yep. So did Caitlin Dever.
Yeah. They all did great. Just because of how something's written doesn't mean, I think people just can't separate real life from fiction sometimes. And that's what's sad.
I feel like, maybe this is just me, but I feel like I've seen less death threats and like that kind of investment for the last couple of years and stuff that otherwise would have gotten it. Like when Last of Us Part 2 came out 5 years ago, definitely. But in the last couple of years, I feel like that stuff is kind of, I don't see it as often anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good. But maybe also,
Part 2 came out around COVID time. So yeah. Maybe people were just pent up.
Oh, yeah. Most people played
also,
that
it was
game.
Like a 7-year wait.
Yeah. It was 7-year wait, and then most people played it in lockdown and had nothing else to do but simmer on it.
Yeah.
I can't Joe, and that's all I got to think about because I can't go anywhere. I see golf clubs in my dreams and can't even take them to the course.
The golf club was more brutal in the show, I felt like.
He stabbed him with a broken one.
Yeah, that was crazy. When that happened, I was like, my jaw was on the floor. It was well filmed.
Yeah.
Filmed very well.
Even I was taken aback when she took a shotgun to his knee. Like,
oh damn,
you just blew him back.
Yeah, like we fully see like a lot of stuff, and there's like a lot more hits that you saw too, especially with like Nora, where a lot of it in the game was like off frame or behind the camera.
Yep.
Yeah, brutal.
I do remember getting that steel pipe though with Nora, and it's just square. Square.
Square.
Square.
Square. Square. All right, that's what I kept saying. When press square. Press square, Bella. Oh, God.
One more positive I'll say about this game is show. Gorgeous landscape shots.
Oh, yeah.
Just the...
Absolutely.
Especially in Jackson, which I guess was mostly filmed in Alberta. Just
beautiful. Alberta, I heard Vancouver somewhere.
Yep.
In some spots. Yeah. Yeah, beautiful production design on the show is always amazing. HBO always does a pretty good job in terms of production design because they have all the money.
Yeah.
I actually don't know what the budget for the show was, if I'm being honest.
Not sure. Last of Us Season 2.
I'm going to guess.
It's
7 episodes, $20 million per episode.
That's what I'm guessing. You're not far off. 100 to 150 million.
Say 50 of that went to Jackson.
Is the estimated budget. Apparently the development cost for Last of Us Part 2 was around 220 million based on the first Google search. So it cost less than the game.
Jesus. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is about production design that gets me so interested, like especially back in the day where film crews or productions, they just build like whole towns.
Yep.
Like how do you just do that? Like I know how you do it. But like
you don't build them
to
the code.
Do it such like a short life. Nah, that's true. Now that I think about it, not up to code really.
They're just like
not really four, building them to last if you think about it.
Just like four walls and some production design.
Yeah. A lot of drywall, maybe. Or maybe not even. How expensive is drywall?
Not expensive for a film crew.
I guess not.
It ain't cheap.
Not expensive for $150 million.
It ain't cheap for home renovation, but it's negligible for a film production.
Interesting. Yeah, I always love watching behind the scenes. It's like, yeah, so we built the town from scratch. I'm like, what do you mean you built? What do you mean you built the town? You can't just say that like it's something casual.
We are filming at least 3 episodes here. At least. But like, most of the season takes place in Seattle. We are using Jackson for 3 episodes, so help me God.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, I don't have too many negatives besides of like what they change, and I agree with. Except all the negatives. I don't have too many negatives except all the negatives that everybody else has been saying.
Again, to me, it's just story. I just didn't believe a lot of stuff.
It's funny you say it's just story, because to me, it's... I think the story was adapted well from part two, but it's the execution of the story in a way that's...
Agreed.
They took an already controversial story and then basically did nothing out of it. They made it worse by just not doing it the same. I'm like, one way you would have made people angry, the other way you're just making them ambivalent, and that's worse.
Yeah.
Sad.
I mean, yeah. It's so weird. I don't even know if I'll watch season three. I mean, I'm going to.
I'm going to watch it. I know I'm going to
watch
it. I'm
going to watch it. But I just don't feel the hype for it. End of season one, I felt the hype, because that was probably the best video game adaptation to date.
Yep. But the sad part is, we all kind of
knew what was going to happen, though.
We knew it was going this way. We said, did we do a Last of Us Part 1 review on this show? I don't remember.
Yes.
Yeah. We probably even said, you can probably clip out a quote of us saying, we're not sure Bella Ramsey can carry a season 2. We were unconvinced of that even back at the time. And already knowing how controversial The Last of Us Part 2's story was, it was set up for exactly this, with improbably lower writing than we got. But it, like, this was in the cards 2 years ago. It played out exactly as expected, so I don't know why I'm disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a shame. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, the hype, I don't really feel hyped for season three. Oh, you know what was fucked up about the Joel scene, Joel dying, was right after that, they throw in a Ashley Johnson scene.
Oh, right after.
I was like, that's fucked up. How dare you do that? Playing on my emotions.
Don't play on my nostalgia. Don't use Ashley Johnson's voice.
And I think it's a song that she performed with Troy Baker, like, at some event or something.
Oh, so in a meta way, she's performing it solo.
A lot of layers.
Yeah.
Damn.
Kind of like in the opening art for the show, the cordyceps kind of converges into two stock figures in the end, but for most of season two's intro, it was just one figure. It cut out the big
one,
which represented Joel. Yeah.
Yeah.
So all in all, I give season two, the scenes with Pedro Pascal, I think, are pretty good. Up top tier prestige television still, episodes 1, 2, and 6. Very well done. The rest, put it on in the background. It's not the worst TV I've ever seen by a mile. Like, there's a lot to admire in here, Isabella Merced. Just like you could just have your eyes glued to the screen for her all day, but otherwise, not a heck of a lot to keep you fully invested. So just, if you're just kind of passively watching, fine.
Yeah, I agree. I have a couple buddies who, like, never played the game at all and didn't know anything about The Last of Us.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been enjoying it.
That's good. I'm glad.
So I will say, if you don't know anything about it, you'll probably enjoy it. If you're, you know, a hater of the game, you're going to probably be a hater of season two. Yeah, I agree. Stuff with Pedro Pascal is phenomenal. The rest is more meh than terrible.
Yeah.
I think, you know what? Here's a full circle moment. I think I've come to accept The Last of Us Part 2 story. Just accept that that's what it is. And that's good.
I think that's the greatest irony about The Last of Us Season 2 is I have seen this sentiment starting to prop up online that this show adapted Part 2 story so suboptimally that it makes people retroactively appreciate what Last of Us Part 2 did right. Or at least did better. You're like, oh, it could have been worse. It could have been worse.
That's true. Yeah, again, like, just, I think, thinking about it, like, every problem I had with Part 2, the game itself, was all story-based. Like, yep. The mechanics were fun. The game mechanics were fun.
Beautiful.
The production game was great. Everything was beautiful. Voice acting was phenomenal. Or acting, I should say. Performance capture was phenomenal.
It played great.
The gunplay played great. Yeah, it was just mostly story.
The crafting, the weapons. It was a fantastic game. Mm-hmm.
It was so good that they remastered Last of Us Part 1 for like a 15th time to use Part 2's engine, which I recently beat like a few months ago.
I think Sony and Bethesda are in an arms race for how much we can remaster our best games.
Yeah. Crazy that they're like, by the way, we're remastering Oblivion and it's out today. Wasn't that wild?
Yeah.
I played a little bit of it. I couldn't get into it. I'm too much of a Skyrim guy.
Came out of nowhere.
Sorry.
I'll probably try it at some point. All right.
I mean, it's fun.
So where can we find you?
At my house right now. No. Anywhere? You can find me.
What was your address? Where exactly can we find
my address? Beep. Anyway. You can find me at Ryan Walker Official on Instagram and on YouTube, if you feel like it.
And you can find me on Instagram at ThoughtPlane Media. And check out ThoughtPlane.ca for everything else we do. There's hundreds of posts there for free. And you can donate a buck or two there if you like our work and you're feeling generous. We hope to see you on the next close-up with Ryan and Joe. Till next time.
Take care.